And on the eve of Christmas, on this night we bear witness to the light of Christ with all the faithful of every time and place. With choirs of angels and with all the heavenly hosts, we sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all."
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be the Son of God." And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, had also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our scripture lesson is from Luke in the second chapter. "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in the bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
And when I stand here this evening, I start wondering, how did it get to be Christmas Eve? I was just saying that to my husband this evening. You know, it seems that we were just cooking the Thanksgiving turkey, you know? The school was just starting, that it was 10 days till Christmas, and then all of a sudden, how do we get to Christmas Eve already? And here it comes like a giant wave. People are telling me they're baked out, you know, they've done all their baking, we got here. And you know what? I too get so busy getting ready that I'm afraid that Christmas will come and go before I've had time to really enjoy it. And every year I have to battle between the busyness to make way for the peace and joy of Christmas and all the stuff that we have to do. The Christmas carol, which we sang this morning, O Little Town of Bethlehem, says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. Obviously, the lyricist did not live in my world. It's a pretty noisy, busy world. And yet, maybe he did. Weren't the roads in Bethlehem that first Christmas busy and hectic? Weren't people hassled by cares and requirements? Wasn't the time available short and the demands on it overwhelming? Maybe things then and now have more similarity than we know. And yet there is some truth to the picture-perfect nativity scene and the verse that talks about how the gift of salvation sneaks up on us. We all know about reality TV, how popular it is, and people seem to always love to look at the lives of others and see how things are unfolding. And so tonight I'd like to have you see if you can glean your own truth from this true story about holiness in the midst of chaos. It happened quite a few Christmases ago at a large church in Pennsylvania, not too far from here. So let's go back to December 1979. That was the year that Phoebe took over as director of the Christmas pageant. Many of you can remember that distant time. For others, it's a bit prenatal. Maybe some of you even had school-age children then. To say that Phoebe became an institution in that church is an understatement in the extreme. Phoebe saw 7 senior pastors come and go, and she served with 19 different directors of Christian education. And people used to joke that wars would start and cease, presidents would be elected and retire, but one thing was certain, Phoebe would direct the Christmas pageant. The secret to Phoebe's longevity? Total control. You see, Phoebe wanted the same thing every year, perfection. She wanted perfect lighting, perfect lines, perfect sound system, perfect costumes, perfect singing. Maybe you have met a Phoebe in your lifetime. To ensure total control and thereby perfection, Phoebe selected only 9 children for the annual Christmas pageant. As you might expect in a large church, that left a lot of kids out of the play every year. And every year, parents of rejected Marys and Josephs, shepherds and angels, tried to persuade Phoebe to let just a few more children participate, but not for her, the herds of lambs capable of sustaining the national lamb and sheep industry. Nope, Phoebe wanted perfection. And she said, if you allow more than 9 children, you're going to lose what is essential, total control. So every year, Phoebe chose 9 kids, no more, no less. 1 Mary, 1 Joseph, 3 wise men, 2 shepherds, 1 angel, and 1 narrator. That's it. No matter how much the parents cried, cajoled, or threatened, part of the perfection was that they used the King James translation of the Bible. And each year, it was very challenging to find a first or second grade shepherd who could memorize and clearly say, "Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, to see this thing has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Wow. There was one year, however, before she retired that she did not direct the Christmas pageant. A new chairperson of the CE committee was elected, and that first committee meeting, with three mothers of rejected Marys and Joseph, they came up with a new resolution which was passed unanimously by the session. Be it resolved that all children who wish to be in the Christmas pageant shall be able to do so. A part will be found for each and every child. Rebellion, treason, anarchy, or so Phoebe thought. The resolution was adopted at a session meeting on Monday night, and Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., Phoebe was waiting for the senior pastor, and before he could take off his coat, she had resigned as director of the Christmas pageant. As she walked off in a huff, she said, "If these mothers think that they can do better, then let them try." So the mothers who had mutinied were left to put together the Christmas pageants with only weeks until Christmas Eve. It must be admitted that the Christmas pageant that year was not perfect. Perfection, well, it's hard to have when you're packing onto the chancel 12 shepherds wandering around in the hills, 25, 3, and 4, and 5-year-olds grazing like sheep, a bunch of angels fluttering their wings in each other's faces. There were shepherds and angels milling into each other. There were sheep grazing in the pulpit, near the baptismal font, and out into the pews. There were a lot of imperfect moments in this Christmas pageant. One thing that added to the aura of chaos was a change happened at the last minute between the last rehearsal and the actual performance. So nobody knew about it but the mothers. But the mothers decided to update the narrator's part. They decided that they would recite from the Good News Bible instead of the King James Version, because they felt that children didn't really understand the King James Version. And that meant that the line, "And Joseph also came up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, to Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child," was changed to, "And so Joseph went to register with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage, and she was pregnant." As Joseph and Mary walked in, the word "pregnant" resounded from the pulpit all the way to the back and back again. And Joseph looked incredulously at Mary and said, "Pregnant? What do you mean, pregnant?" Which just goes to show that the mother was right. They did understand the Good News Version so much better. And the congregation laughed, but the meaning of Christmas came home in a new and fresh way. The grazing 3- and 4-year-old and 5-year-old sheep, were getting tired by now. You know, it's hard to graze for so long with those heavy wool costumes on and a warm building. And they were beginning to curl up and go to sleep in little flocks here and there. And you know who was sitting in the last row? Well, Phoebe, of course. She came to see how the pageant would turn out. And some of the sheep recognized Phoebe, and so they curled up right next to her and went to sleep. And that was a beautiful moment. There were other imperfect moments in that pageant. The lights went out in the middle of the performance, and the sanctuary went dark. That allowed people to notice that it had begun snowing, the first snow of the season. And there let out a collective, "Ah." And it was a beautiful time, and people realized it was a sacred moment. Then the innkeeper came in as the lights came back up, a very nervous middle school boy who had only one line to say in the play. He had it down pat: "There is no room in the inn." That's all he had to say. And when Mary and Joseph came up to him, he said it perfectly. But then as they turned to go away, overcome with compassion, he said, "Wait, wait, you can have my room."
And after the laughter died down, a gentleman who was sitting in the first row because he couldn't hear very well suddenly said, in what my mother used to call an Irish whisper, "Well, that's perfect. That's just perfect." The Christmas pageant that year was not perfect. Well, not in the way that Phoebe meant perfection, but it was perfect in the way that God gives perfection. For God can take our feeble attempts at love and forgiveness and justice and turn them into something holy. Something that might be messy, but beautiful and sacred. And that is God's kind of perfect. So actually, that gentleman in the front row was completely correct. The pageant was just perfect. Everyone that night understood the wisdom of the middle school innkeeper. Perhaps they should make more room for hospitality as they celebrated the Christmas season. Maybe they received the message that they needed to make more room for a stranger or for people who needed the basics. Make room for people who are grieving and alone. Make room for Jesus. And that is as big a part of the Christmas story as anything. When I heard this real life story, I realized that God does not bless us because we have a perfect church, with perfect organization, with perfect sermons and music, with perfect volunteers who carry out all their many duties perfectly. God blesses us simply because God loves us. And even adds God's own grace to our imperfect efforts of faith and service. Maybe there is holiness amidst our chaotic attempts to host the Christ child. Silently, silently, baby Jesus comes as the incarnation of God's love. And he still brings that gift of salvation today, as surely as he did long ago in that busy, imperfect world. Or as the Christmas carol goes on to say, "No ear may hear his coming, but in a world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." Amen.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked.
Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their run young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be as full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Most Holy One, tonight you have given us a child who is like all human children, and yet at the same time, unlike all others. Born of Mary, he is the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. As we celebrate this holy night with carols and prayers, gifts and feasting, may we open our hearts to receive your Christ. Come, incarnate love, and rejuvenate us in body, mind, and spirit until Christmas love spills over into every thought, action, and prayer. Amen. People of God, you are a sent people, sent to be light bearers wherever you go. Now may the light of Christ illumine you and your path, now and forevermore.